From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we've been following this week. Two projects that could be eligible for 1% sales tax money were updated at the September 28th County Board meeting. Commissioners heard the latest information on broadband and Superior National Golf Course. Dana McKenzie, the county's Information Systems Director, said FON, the Fiber Optic Network Commission, was following recent broadband developments.
The commission met last Thursday, the first time since Arrowhead Electric announced that they were awarded funds from the federal government. The primary purpose for that meeting was to meet with Arrowhead and learn about where they're at in their process and what we might expect going forward. And as you can imagine, they're just at the beginning stages of coming up with their action plan for how to move forward. But they have designated Joe Buttweiler as their contact person, and he has very enthusiastically joined the broadband group.
She said that the Arrowhead board had accepted the grant, are awaiting signing the final contract, and their representatives are at an awardees conference where more details will be discussed. Commissioner Jim Johnson asked her if she felt all the recent broadband activity was a help or would create more work for everyone.
Are you encouraged a lot? Your general outlook about the possibilities now of getting broadband throughout the county, I mean, you see this as a reality that we can look forward to. There's been a lot of confusion as to how this is going to play out, and I just want to know whether you're feeling positive about the events.
I am feeling very positive, and I hope that's the general consensus, because I don't see how sinking $125 million into a new infrastructure that will support our economy and our education and our healthcare system can't be a bad thing.
Commissioner Bob Fenwick reported on actions taken by a review committee which is dealing with the 1% sales tax application from Superior National Golf Course.
When the committee met, there were some things that came up immediately which prompted us to take some action. First is that it is apparent that the application for funds was not coming from the actual owner of the golf course.
County Attorney Tim Scannell drafted a letter outlining clarifications needed by the committee, and after a lengthy discussion, it was decided to send it on for a response. Fenwick said sending the request back for clarification in no way was a reflection on the merits of the application. One of the requirements of the completed application will include an evaluation by a consultant on the appropriate use of 1% funds by the golf course. In the end, the responsibility to respond to the board's requests lies with the Economic Development Authority, owner of Superior National Golf Course.
The federal government is making a fourth run at removing gray wolves in Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan from the endangered species list. The Fish and Wildlife Service published a notice in the Federal Register on September 14th in response to petitions filed by Minnesota, Wisconsin, and several groups to take the gray wolf off the list in the western Great Lakes region, which has about 4,000 wolves, 3,000 of which are in Minnesota. Publication in the Federal Register will start a new 12-month review to determine if delisting the wolf in the region is warranted, including a 60-day public comment period, which ends November 15th. The federal government's three previous efforts to remove gray wolves from the endangered species list failed, blocked by the courts or withdrawn over procedural errors. Some environmental groups are fighting the proposal. Michael Robinson of the Center for Biological Diversity says the government needs a national wolf recovery plan instead. Other groups support the proposal, saying that wolf populations in the Great Lakes region have recovered to sufficient levels and that management should be turned over to state wildlife managers.
County Engineer David Betts and Maintenance Supervisor Russell Clegstead brought commissioners up to date on Highway Department projects at Tuesday's meeting. Clegstead said many culverts have been replaced this summer.
We've been doing a lot of culvert replacement this summer. We just did the entire Clearwater Road, one big one leaving Bearskin Landing. Turned out really well. The guys did a good job there. That's the biggest one of the bunch.
He enumerated the culvert locations and then made an observation on a related problem.
We've had a lot of beaver problem here lately. So I've been dealing with the game wardens on that. We've been trapping beaver. They're all over the place, plugging up everything we got. So that's ongoing. They are busy.
Clegstead added the department has been crushing and hauling a lot of gravel this summer, as well as patching blacktop and paying special attention to ditching. Bumps on the Gunflint Trail, however, will have to wait for the availability of bituminous hot mix.
There's two bumps, you know, there, the one at Pine Mountain and then one up, all further up north. Looking at the, when the highway was rebuilt, we're really at a quandary at what we're going to find when we dig in there. What's happening there shouldn't be happening. So we're thinking it's going to be a big old chunk of ledge that we're going to get into. So I'm scared of it turning into just digging out a boulder to digging out, breaking up a big chunk of road. And that's one I didn't want to do without having hot mix available.
The department will also try to get some sloped shoulder work done before the snow flies, but Clegstead said everything depends on the weather from now on.
Minnesota's Lake Superior Coastal Program has scheduled 3 workshops in early October to explain the application process for its annual grant program. The first workshop will be held Tuesday, October 5th at the Superior National Forest Office in Grand Marais. On Wednesday, October 6th, there will be a workshop at the DNR office in Two Harbors, followed by another on Thursday, October 7th at the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency office in Duluth. All workshops run from 10 a.m. to noon. This year, Minnesota's Lake Superior Coastal Program anticipates having approximately $500,000 to award to projects that address coastal issues. Workshops will cover eligibility, the types of fundable activities, and match requirements. They'll also include tips on grant writing and information about scoring and ranking. Coastal program staff will be available after the meetings to answer questions and to discuss specific projects. Funds are available to local and state government entities and nonprofit organizations working in the state's coastal areas, which include portions of the lower St. Louis River, its estuary, Lake Superior, and the North Shore. More information is available at the Minnesota DNR website or by calling Carla Sundberg at 218-834-1447. Applications are due November 19th for funds available in the summer-fall of 2011.
It's been around 60 years since the Stone Veterans Memorial was erected on the courthouse lawn. Today it stands in front of a parking lot, shrouded by large overhanging trees, and time has taken its toll. The masonry holding the rock structure together is decaying, the bronze plaque needs polishing, fixing it will cost as much as $5,000, and moving it could result in it falling apart. These are issues Cook County commissioners are struggling with, and at Tuesday's meeting, they turned to American Legion Post 413 for advice and possible help with funding the cost of reconstruction. Post Commander Don Wilson told the board he'd looked into options and concluded it would be better to fix it right rather than do a cosmetic makeover.
The old memorial out there is getting pretty run down. Mortar is falling out of it. It needs some help. The best thing to do right now would be to do it in place, and you have to grind out the joints. If you don't grind out the joints, you're just putting a Band-Aid on a broken window. And then he would put a cap on the top of it so that the water would have a tendency to shed off from it. He said that, and that would last a lot longer than any of us will. Other than that, if you were going to just fix it cosmetically and make it look good now, you would be kind of wasting time and money.
Commissioner Fritz Sabania said he was afraid the old memorial would not be able to hold up during a move, but suggested the board and Legion discuss options over the winter in preparation for fixing the monument in the spring or summer. Commissioner Jim Johnson expressed the hope the Legion would cooperate with the board on ideas and funding. Wilson said he'd discuss the matter with Legion members and thought they could plan some fundraising events to help share the cost of renovating the old memorial. You've been listening to the North Shore Weekend News Wrap-Up. To hear more from the WTIP News team and to check out the full versions of our stories, visit us at WTIP.org. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Jay Anderson, wishing you a great weekend.